John chapter 1. We'll pick up where we left off. We've been speaking about John the Baptist, but you know, the power wasn't in John the Baptist. He was the baptizer. He was the pre-runner. Some say, well, he still lives on in legend. I said, well, I'm not John the Baptist. I mean, maybe Greg the Baptist, but I'm not John the Baptist. But every time you see a Toyota 4Runner go down the road, John the Baptist was considered the 4Runner of Christ. But he pointed people to Jesus Christ. And so we're picking up where we left off. And Jesus' ministry, he was baptized for an example, not because he needed to be baptized, but he went to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist didn't want to baptize him. You remember that. He said, I'm not worthy to loose your shoe latchet. But we'll look in verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Can I just say this? Nobody walked like Jesus. Nobody talked like Jesus. Nobody preached like Jesus. I'll look forward to the day we get to heaven. I can hear Jesus. Amen. Right. See Him face to face. I've not seen Jesus yet, although I've already met Him. I've met the Lord when I got saved, but I'll see Him. All right. And they followed Him. Then Jesus turned and saw them, verse 38, following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, that would be 4 p.m. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come on and see, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now he's saying this about Nathanael. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful again for another opportunity to open your precious word, Lord. And I know this, Heavenly Father, that the power is in the word. But I desire to be a help and a blessing. If someone here is lost without Christ, oh God, may they come and see and taste of the Lord. And see that He is good. And Lord, I pray that you would give me that utterance and unction that only you can give. Precious Spirit of God, fill me to be a blessing, not only to Christians, Lord, but to preach the mystery of the gospel and give people hope. There's, Lord, no doubt in my heart, there's one here searching for peace, something to fill the void that's in their heart. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to them, your spirit would speak to them and convict them and draw them. And Lord, you might get all the thanks and the glory. I pray your blessings in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you. May be seated. Little town here, Bethsaida, it's where Philip, Andrew, and Peter were all from. It's on the northeast coast, come on in, of Galilee. And it means house of fishing. House of fishing. Isn't it amazing how God can take little places? I mean, just like Nazareth, it was just a small place. I think in comparison, maybe it's something like Globe, Arizona. You know, it wasn't a big place. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was from Nazareth there. And God can take little fishing villages or whatever, and he can bring out mighty great men that Jesus called out, like Peter and Andrew and Philip, the evangelist. And so this is amazing, this portion of Scripture here, how Jesus saved people. They heard him speak. They saw that he was real. They knew. Because you can't come into close contact with Jesus and not be changed. He'll change you. He's the only one that can change your life and set you up on solid ground. I said before, the ladies sung about peace, and you won't find peace in a drug or religion. You won't find peace in smoking some pot or whatever they call it, marijuana or whatever. You won't find lasting peace in a bottle of alcohol. And people are trying to find peace in that. You won't find peace in the occult. You will still have an empty place in your heart. You can be involved in all of those dark things. But the only one that can fill your heart and soul with peace and joy and assurance, knowing that when you die and leave this place, you're going straight to heaven. The only one that can fill it is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The only Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And they had a problem with that. They didn't want to believe that. They didn't think he was the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Master. But he was. And he's the one. I'll just say this right now. He's the one that took your place on the cross. Because he loved you and gave himself for you and took those nails and he shed his blood. And no one took his life. He laid it down willingly for mankind. And so not only did he lay it down, the nails didn't hold him to the cross. His love for us held him to the cross. Now he was on that cross and he was paying the price for our sin. We're all sinners, aren't we?
That's right.
If you're honest with God, you'll know that you've come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus wants you to receive Him as a gift. And once you do, you will have come and seen the Savior. Once you trust in Christ, and you'll never regret it. One thing we see here, that Nathanael, he was, in my opinion, probably meditating on Genesis 28:13. We won't turn there, but it's where Jacob was climbing that ladder in the dream, you remember? And and he saw angels coming up and down, but Jesus was the head. He was at the top, and he was probably meditating underneath the fig tree. That was common for people to do, to get out of the sun. They had their own little fig tree and they'd get under it and they'd read the scripture. You see, something about Nathanael, He was an honest man. Jesus called him an Israelite indeed. He was a man of integrity. Can I tell you this? That even though you're honest doesn't get you to heaven. Even though you're a man of integrity and morally good with a lot of things in your life, doesn't purchase your salvation. No, you still need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You still need to trust in Him. And then He'll save you. Over here in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So they're still pointing to the Lamb of God, which is the only way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And if I do nothing but one thing today, and as you come in here and you're searching perhaps, or you're looking for an answer, I want to point you to the one who has all the answers. In fact, Jesus Christ is the answer. And it's not a mistake that you're here today. God had a reason for bringing you here. He put it down in your heart, and now you're here. And so I want to tell you, Jesus already knows you're here. And He's preaching to you. And He wants to help you. I spoke with an air-conditioned man. I know he was an electrician this week. I spoke to an air-conditioned man as well. But he was telling me, he wasn't ashamed as I began to witness to him. You don't know about this one, Brother David. This was after we talked to the one guy. But I said, "Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ?" He said, "I have been saved. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior." I said, "Well, tell me how it happened." He said he went years in his life following dark things, all kinds of dark things. He said, "Pastor, I was an atheist." "Was an atheist." I said, "Well, tell me about it. How did you come to Christ?" He said, "Well, I prayed for a wife, and God gave me a wife. He gave me a wife who was saved. He gave me a wife who was a Christian. And she started praying for me. And she started asking me, 'Just go to church. Just go to church. Come to church with me.'" And he said it went on for a long time. Finally, he just wanted to hush her up, you know, make her be quiet. And he said, "I'll go to church. But I'm not going for God. I'm not going for myself. I'm going for you. I'm going to church for you." He said he went to church. He said he heard the Word of God preached. Next thing he know, he's at the altar and he's getting saved. God answered his wife's prayer. She brought him to Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, "At that very moment, I had that huge hole in my heart filled. And there was peace. I came to Jesus." He's been changed, totally changed. He not just has satisfaction, but he has true peace in his heart and joy that only Jesus can give. He said, "And God walks with me, and God answers my prayer." He said, "I didn't have a job." He seems like everything in my life after I got saved, it took about 2 weeks. And then I didn't have a job, and then 2 weeks later I have a job. And then I needed this, or our family needed this, and I would pray about it as a new Christian, as someone that just came to Christ, and God would provide it. Friends, that's encouraging for us Christians. We have not a lot of times because we ask not, right? There is nothing impossible with God. We're trying to get ready for our missions conference, and we have a missions apartment over here, but it's pretty empty. I made one announcement. Well, we prayed. My wife and I prayed and said, "Lord, we need some furniture for these missionaries and we need some things." And we made one announcement Wednesday, and then all this stuff starts coming in. Who provided it? God provided it through some of you folks. We have a sectional couch, and here's somebody want a bed frame for $25. And you know, lamps and pillows and towels and everything. And you know who did that? God did that. I'm so thankful. Maybe you know someone you're thinking about. Maybe your family member. Maybe it's your own brother. Like he brought his brother to Jesus here. And who knows what may happen in their life. They may get saved and turn out to be a missionary or a preacher, or just their whole life is changed. So right on down through here, they heard Jesus speak and they followed Jesus. And you know what, Brother Lemon? After they started following Jesus, they started fishing for men. And if you're not fishing for men, you're not following Jesus. It kind of goes hand in hand. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them and saith unto them, what seek ye? You know, that's a question we should always ask ourselves. What are you seeking for yourself? What do you desire? Well, Jesus invites them to come to him, to follow him without delay. You know, Jesus never hesitated to give an invitation. And he said, come. He says over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy heart and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Do you want rest? Do you want relief? I'm talking about in your heart, in your soul, from the burdens, from the trials and the cares of life. Some of you say, I need relief, Pastor. Well, I'll tell you who can give it, Jesus. He can help your pain. He can help you in your life. He can give you the answers. And so he said, what seek ye? Verse 38. And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Well, it was in Nazareth, but he wouldn't be there long, would he? He wasn't on the earth that long, 30 some years. But he's in heaven now after he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. He ascended up to heaven. One day he's coming back. You know what? As a preacher, it should be my main concern that when the Lord comes back, you're not left behind. Wouldn't that be awful? I mean, that you're left behind and your loved one is caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Someone said it'll be a big surprise on that day, the second coming, when Jesus, the rapture happens, because a lot of the church members will be gone. Well, I don't know about that, but I want to tell you, you don't have to be left behind. You don't. You can go when he comes back. You can get that settled even today. What seek ye? And verse 39, he saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that next day, for it was about the 10th hour. You know, several times in this chapter, he says the next day. You know, he said it over there in verse 29, the next day. And as we have continued down, he said the next day, the next day. You know, day, time flies, doesn't it? I'm sure that 3-year ministry of the Lord, it was just a flying time. Those 30 years, it just came and gone. But if you're not careful, the Bible says in the book of James, life is but a what?
Vapor.
It appeareth for a while and vanisheth away. If you're not careful, you'll just live your life, keep going through the motions, get up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, you know, and watch a little television or sports or whatever, spend some time with your family, and then do the same thing over and over, and a year will go by, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, decades, the next thing you know, it's over.
Right.
You don't need to put off accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you're never promised tomorrow. You're never promised. So today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come and see. And verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak the following and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He knew. And he brought him to Jesus. Who are you bringing to Jesus? Who are you praying for? Who are you burdened for? Some of you have brought loved ones today. And in a sense, You've brought them to hear this precious book right here. Praise the Lord. Yep. You brought loved ones here to hear a country preacher brag on Jesus. Amen. Amen. But you never know. You never know. If that person, the Lord's been dealing with that person, and they say, you know what? I've tried everything else. I'm ready to try the Son of God. The only Son of God. Jesus. Jesus. He is the Son of God. Jesus. Jesus. The only Son of God. Fairest of 10,000. More than life to me. Jesus. Jesus. He's everything to me. Yes, He's everything to me. Amen. He's mighty sweet. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. Amen? There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. Hey, He's sweet. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. You'll never regret trusting in Jesus as your Savior. My brother over here got mad at me. He said, you didn't sing me a song last time, but he's here today, so I'm going to sing him a song. I sang it for you, brother. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, He is the Son of God, fairest of 10,000, more than life to me. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because one day I came to Jesus. Somebody cared enough about me. Hey, if you can't come to church and hear the truth, where are you going to go? The church is the pillar and ground of truth. And I can't save you. If I was able to save you, I'd save you. I would help you. But no, all I can do is bring you and pray for you. I can't get saved for anybody. Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. A personal Savior. I needed a personal Savior. You need a personal Savior. And He wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you from your sin. Don't put Him off. You say, how do I do that? Well, the first thing, look to Him. Look to Jesus and be saved. We're all sinners. It's necessary for us to realize that we need saving from something. And we are guilty. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to God. And so have you ever lied? Okay, you're a liar. He said, thou shalt not bear false witness. Exodus 20. Have you ever coveted? We're all guilty, right? Thou shalt not covet. Your parents, honor your mother and father. Have you ever disobeyed and dishonored your parents? We're guilty. Have you ever lusted after a woman? You're an adulterer. Have you ever took anything that's not yours? You're a thief. Yes. So we're guilty. But aren't you glad Jesus, the perfect, innocent, pure Savior, the innocent one, took our punishment on Himself and paid for our sins, all of our iniquities, on the cross. I know when I mention the cross, the devil hates it.
That's right.
I preached a message on the cross. It was just all about the cross. We sang all about the cross. And I had an old pastor come up to me, Brother Jay, and said, the devil's mad right now. But it's only through the cross. Paul said, I'd rather preach the cross than baptize. The cross of Jesus Christ. What He did there. That old rugged cross. An emblem of suffering and shame. And I love the old rugged cross, don't you? Jesus went to the cross. He carried that cross for you and for me. Verse 42, and He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The son of Jonah, his daddy was Jonah. He talks about that other name over in the Gospels, harmony of the Gospels, Bar-Jonah, Simon, but Peter. The word means little stone, little pebble. There in Matthew, chapter number 4 and chapter number 16, we won't turn there, but Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he recognized that. So Peter is not the one that can save your soul or give you hope. It's Jesus Christ who is, like on your bulletin today, He's the chief cornerstone. Amen. He's the foundation. Without a foundation, you have nothing to build upon. You need a foundation. When they poured this foundation, man, it's thick cement, footers. I'm telling you, from here to that floor down there, footers. 8 foot wide all the way around. And your life, you will only be as strong in your building and your structure as your foundation is. And so if he talks about this in Matthew 7, Jesus says the wise man, he builds his house on the rock. How many of you married? Raise your hand. You're married. Okay, I don't want to embarrass any of you, but you'll never have the family and the marriage you want without a firm foundation. How firm a foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord? There's a song in your hymn book. How firm a foundation. He is the solid rock. Amen, church? And if you build anything else on the sand, your life, you won't have any hope. But Jesus is our foundation. He's our solid rock. And that's what he said over there. Jesus was pointing to himself, I believe. He was talking about Peter. He said, talking with Peter, "Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Wasn't talking about Peter, because if it was built on Peter, when he died, it would go out. Right. But Jesus is alive today, amen, forevermore. Build on Jesus. Just a few more minutes here. Verse 43, "In the day following Jesus," verse 43, "go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, this house of fishermen, house of fishing. Now, and it says, a city of Andrew and Peter. So they were all from there. "Findeth Philip, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see." So no matter where you're from, no matter how insignificant, Jesus sees. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold an Israelite." Jesus is speaking this about Nathanael. "Behold an Israelite indeed, an honest, upright man," is what he's saying, "in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Because he knew he was an honest man. "Whence knowest thou me?" Maybe you should ask that question of yourself. Lord, how do you know this of me? Can I tell you why? Because he is the Son of God, the only Son of God, who is omniscient. He knows everything. People, they look at life and circumstances and things they go through, and it doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense to us because we're not God. But God has all the answers. And he says in verse 48, "Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." So I'd like to say this morning, Jesus sees you. He knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're dealing with. You know, people just look on the outside, on the surface, but Jesus sees right into your heart. Amen?
Amen.
He sees it. Verse 46, Philip repeated what Jesus said. In verse 39, what did he say? Come and see. And then in 46, he said, come and see. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, what's that word mean? It means truly. So truly, truly, it's another word for amen. Amen. It's true. Verily, verily, Jesus is speaking. I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Yes, He is the Son of Man.
Amen.
No matter what you think, He is, and He's real. And He wants you to come today. Won't you come and see today? Won't you get that settled in your heart and trust Christ as your only Lord and Savior? Let's stand together.